With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A welcome in, happy Friday to Send It In, presented by BetMGM. It's been a slow day so far in sports. I'm kidding, of course. We'll give you an update on Scottie Scheffler here in moments. We got a busy day and a lot to talk about. Henry Ettinger is going to join me in moments. Three NBA playoff series left. Henry will give out some of his favorite plays in those series. We'll also be joined by Casey Hudson to talk some NHL playoffs as well. We got some afternoon pairings this week. The golf was moved back an hour and a half, so time to get some three-ball bets in. We'll dive into that as well. And then with the NFL schedule release, we gave out some picks that we liked in week one yesterday. We'll look at some win totals today on Send It In as well, and then wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Twitch.tv/BetQL and YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports to send in whatever is on your mind. Scottie Scheffler update for everybody. He is 6 under for the tournament, 2 under today. He's on the first hole right now. He started on the back nine, so he's making his way to the front nine, playing his 10th hole of the day. Xander Schauffele is still in the lead at 9 under par. He tees off at 2:38 p.m. Eastern time. Colin Morikawa's making a move today. He's at 7 under. Harris English and Alex Noren making a move as well. So it looks like we're set up for a really good tournament. Rory had a great first round yesterday. He tees off in the afternoon as well. But let's talk some NBA playoff basketball. And to do that, Henry Ettinger will join us on the show. You can follow him on X at Hedging Henry. Henry, always great having you on the show, man. Let's talk about this Knicks-Pacers series up first. We got Game 6 tonight. The home team has won every game so far in this series. Do you kind of see that continuing here tonight and maybe the rest of the way? And how are you attacking this game tonight, player prop-wise as well?
In terms of the game itself, BJ, I actually lean the Knicks to get this done tonight and end this streak of the home team winning. And I just think it's the Pacers are out of answers for Jalen Brunson at this point. They had a nice little adjustment putting Aaron Nesmith on him, but we saw Jalen Brunson and the Knicks figure that out a little bit. They went to some small pick and rolls with Miles McBride, and that actually leads me into my first player prop, which is I like Jalen Brunson over assists in this game. The Pacers have started to double-team Brunson a lot more as they've really run out of answers for him. He had 18 potential assists in that last game. So I think a similar strategy is coming here tonight from the Pacers. They did not double-team very much during the season at all. They were absolutely terrible at it, but I think they're going to try to get the ball out of Brunson's hands because he's just been crushing them. And so that's really where I see it going on that side of the ball for the Knicks. On the other side of things, the one Pacers prop I like is Pascal Siakam over points. Without OG Anunoby, they just don't have an answer for him. And as I mentioned, the Knicks are going a lot smaller, getting Burks, McBride on the floor for shooting on the offensive end. That means they're not really putting a power forward out there, and Josh Hart is ending up on Pascal Siakam a lot, and Siakam's taking advantage of that over in 2 out of 3 games without OG, and the one he didn't hit was the massive blowout where he was 7 for 9 from the field, but the Pacers won by so many points, he just really didn't have to do that much, frankly, and stay in the game that long. He only played 22 minutes.
Yeah, I'm in line with you on a lot of stuff there. I'm going to give out my picks here in a little bit during playoff Peach. What about this Mavs-Thunder series, Henry? So I talked about in Knicks-Pacers, the home team has won every game in that series. This Mavs-Thunder team, obviously, we've seen the road team win three times already. And it kind of feels like in this series, as soon as we think we know one thing, the other happens. Dallas is favored by 3.5 tonight against OKC. What are you looking at in this game six, and how do you see this series kind of playing out the rest of the way?
I lean towards the Mavs. They've really dominated a lot of the series. If you look at just the amount of time that they've led there, I do think that they ultimately are going to close this out in game six. That's not a bet, though, for me. I wouldn't necessarily bet on that because I do think the Thunder have found some answers by getting Josh Giddey out of the starting lineup. You saw the pick and roll work much more effectively in the last game because Dallas couldn't hide their center on Josh Giddey defensively. So if you're looking at the prop market in this game, one prop I'm definitely going to bet is Kyrie Irving over rebounds plus assists. He's been much more passive in this series on the offensive end, passing a lot more, and the Thunder have been happy to concede those corner threes to some so-so Dallas three-point shooters that so far have knocked those shots down. And then on the other end, as OKC spaces out the floor, they've taken a ton of threes. So you could either, you know, bet on a guy like Chet Holmgren to go over threes, or you could bank on the fact that there are going to be a lot of long rebounds. That's something that Kyrie, again, should be able to take advantage of. The guards have done a great job rebounding in the series for Dallas. So the Kyrie bet is one I'm definitely going to make. But if you're looking for other bets, I would look at maybe some OKC role players in their three-point props because Dallas had to actually help out a lot more in the pick and roll in the last game without Josh Giddey seeing much time at all in the starting lineup.
I like it. All right, Henry. Game 7 all set for Sunday night in Denver between the Wolves and the Nuggets. I'm glad we're getting a Game 7. Like, this series deserves a Game 7. And with the way that the Wolves won last night, I think a lot of people kind of thought they were done after Denver had won three straight. But now we're set up for just a really solid game on Sunday night. A lot of times in these Game 7s, we obviously see lower scoring games and we kind of see the stars take control. Is that how you handicap that game? Do you see like a Murray, Jokic, Anthony Edwards type game, or do you see some other guys that you're attacking in the prop market?
No, I mean, a lot of the props aren't, you know, out on every book yet, but it's cliche, but it's true at the same time. Like you mentioned, PJ, this really does come down to the stars a lot, and I'm going to look at Anthony Edwards because he's been crazy aggressive at times in this series. I think he's going to have that mentality in this game, and when he's done that, Denver really hasn't had a great answer for him. KCP has not held up all that well, even, you know, in Game 6 like we just saw. So at the end of the day, I'm not sure Denver has a great answer. They've been a horrendous team guarding the rim in these playoffs and giving up points in the paint. Of course, we know how athletic Anthony Edwards is in getting to the bucket. So he's really the guy that I'm probably going to be zeroing in on, to be honest. The other one I'd look at is Mike Conley assists, potentially. If they're going to double Edwards, that could free up Mike Conley for some playmaking responsibilities or potentially PRAs as well. So we'll see what the full market looks like once we have a better picture of that game, but that's where I'm thinking. Of course, you know, some under props potentially with role players, maybe like a Jaden McDaniels, a shaky shooter like that. You might look at his under threes or something like that as well.
Henry, my mindset has kind of been that series is the NBA Finals. I think whoever wins that Game 7 is going to go on to win the title. Are you in the same mindset, or do you like Boston still, or maybe OKC or Dallas potentially?
I would say I favor Denver right now to win the finals, but I will say I think people are shortchanging the other series a little bit in terms of the Mavs and Thunder. I think the Thunder are actually a really tough matchup for the Timberwolves. The Thunder are fantastic in transition, and they're great at turning teams over, which is the Timberwolves' biggest weakness. They obviously don't have a lot of ball handlers. So far, they haven't played anybody that really does that to them. That's not Denver's strength. So I think that's something that could rear its head if we did see a conference finals matchup between them. I mentioned that I favor Dallas to win that series, and Luka has not been healthy so far in these playoffs, but you get a lot more time off in the conference finals and the NBA finals. So there could be an opportunity for him to get a little bit healthier to start hitting his jump shot a little bit more. That Dallas defense to me has been really impressive. So I lean Denver, but I think the other guys are getting shortchanged a little bit out of the West. I don't believe in the East at all. I was not impressed at all with what I've seen from Boston so far. Their fourth quarter offense has still looked stuck in the mud to me. And I don't really see that changing. They're going to walk to the NBA Finals in all likelihood, but unless they're firing on all cylinders, I don't see them keeping up with any out of the four teams out of the West. I would take any of those over Boston, assuming, you know, they're healthy come the matchup in the Finals.
Yeah, we are in agreement there. Henry, before I let you go, a lot of great stuff in the NBA. Anything that you like in the MLB for today?
Little bit of a contrarian play against the popular public here, but I would take Paul Skenes under strikeouts. I think, you know, number one, he's facing a Cubs team that just saw him, you know, obviously in his last start. So right. They should be relatively familiar with this stuff. You know, the pitch count's probably not going to be crazy high. They're going to be careful there. So to me, this is a spot where the market's overinflated him a little bit.
Love it. Henry, always great talking to you, man. Great insight. Henry Ettinger, make sure you guys follow him on all social media, Instagram, X, TikTok, @Hedging_Henry. We'll talk to you again soon, Henry. Good luck, man.
Appreciate it, PJ.
All right, great stuff there from Henry. Now my thoughts on the NBA playoffs. We got three series left. Also, we'll give out some picks. I love a game in the NHL tonight as well. As for the NBA, I'm totally in agreement with Henry. I think the Knicks get the job done tonight. I'd take them +6.5, and I'd take them on the money line as well. A lot of times in the NBA, when we get these series where the home team has won the first five games, and we just kind of expect that to keep going, and everybody's just kind of expecting there to be a game seven, you'd be surprised at how many times that road team in game six ends up winning or playing it really, really tight. So because we're getting the full two possessions with the Knicks at +6.5, I definitely take that, but I'd also take them on the money line as well. New York easily could have won that game three in Indiana, and then game four was just kind of a disaster. It was kind of similar to what game five was for Indiana, where the Pacers easily could have won game one or two at MSG, and then they kind of had their bad road game in this series. I think we get a much better effort from the Knicks tonight from what we saw in game four from them on the road. Brunson had a great game. He had 44 points, and he was completely dominating. DiVincenzo has been a guy these last couple games who really has not played well. I think we're due for another big Dante game, so I'd look over 16.5 points for him. And Henry gave out Brunson assists, and I'm right there with him. Indiana's going to have to make adjustments. They're going to have to trap him. They're going to have to get the ball out of his hands. I think he's going to be a facilitator more tonight than he has been the last couple games, so I'll take Brunson over 6.5 assists as well. Thunder-Mavs is a tough game to call. I would probably lean towards Dallas winning the game. If I had to bet it, though, I actually would take OKC +3.5. Both games in Dallas were very tight. They were both one, two possession type games. So the fact we're getting that 3.5 and what's probably going to be a lower scoring game, I would lean towards Oklahoma City. The way this series has been going, it honestly wouldn't surprise me if OKC won game six at Dallas and then Dallas came right back and won game seven at Oklahoma City. I do like Dallas to win this series, whether it's tomorrow night or whether it's in game seven. I do think they're going to advance to the Western Conference Finals. But if I had to make a play, it probably would be on the Thunder +3.5. And then for game seven, can't wait for this game. Denver and Minnesota. You guys have watched the show. You know I've been on the Timberwolves. Even when Denver tied it up at 2-2, I said I still like the Wolves in seven. I thought Denver would win game five. I thought Minnesota win game six. Both of those things have happened, and I'm sticking with Minnesota in game seven. I hate to bring this up because Casey Hudson is about to join the show, but I've told you guys that this series reminds me a lot of the Caps and the Lightning. When that series played out just how this one is playing, Washington went into Tampa. They won the first two games. Then the Lightning won the next three, and then the Caps won the last two, and I kind of see this series being the same exact thing. So I like Minnesota in game seven. I also like Jamal Murray over points as well at 19.5. It feels like in all these big closeout games, Jamal Murray always plays well, and I think that's a great number at 19.5. And also, as Henry mentioned, how can you not take some Ant-Man over 27.5 points as well? Season on the line, game seven on the road. This feels like a game where you take alternate point props for Anthony Edwards, 30+, 35+, maybe even you take a 40+. If Minnesota is going to win that game, Anthony Edwards has to play like the superstar that he is. So I like both of those props. And then in the NHL tonight, I love the Boston Bruins. I think we're getting a reverse 3-1 from what we did last year. The Panthers were down 3-1 in their series against Boston, broke their hearts, went all the way to the Stanley Cup. Well, Boston was down 3-1 in this series, and they won Game 5 in Florida. I think they're going to win tonight. I think they're going to win Game 7, and I think they're going to go all the way to the Stanley Cup Final and upset the Rangers in the next round as well. So don't count out Boston. They're back at home tonight. I think they get the job done, and then I think they go win Game 7 on the road in Florida as well. Stars and Avs is a tough game to call. The Stars have been the better team for a majority of this series. The Avalanche have just kind of had their spurts in these periods where they've just gone on goal streaks and they've kind of won these games. Dallas is better. I think they do win the series, but I would pass on that game tonight. And I would also pass on the Oilers and the Canucks. The Oilers are the much better team, but somehow Vancouver just finds ways to continue to win these games. So I'll pass on both of those. Love Boston tonight against the Panthers. Let's find out what Casey likes in these NHL games. We go to Model Making Money. Check in with Casey Hudson on a Friday. So Casey, I'm excited to get your thoughts on some of these games. Before that, though, what are the five-star plays BetQL has for us today?
The one and only five-star play lines up with where you led, PJ. It's for the Boston Bruins, money line at plus 125. The model is edging the Bruins to win by 50.4% chance. But keep this in mind, Panthers are 3-1 on the road, while the Bruins are 2-4 at home. So that's the five-star bet on this Friday.
All right, very nice. So, Casey, we still have three more series in the NHL playoffs to be decided. We got a couple of game sixes tonight. Do you think that either the Panthers or the Stars can finish the job tonight?
If I had to lean heavily in one direction, I'm actually going to go with the Stars tonight. My biggest reasoning for that is that if Ottinger shows up for his team between the pipes, I think it's a done deal. There's a few bounces that got past him, not putting it entirely on Ottinger, but there were some saves that he could have made there if the stick didn't interrupt the path of the puck. And I think that that's something that he's going to want to be more locked in on. He had some issues last year where he gave up certain goals versus the Golden Knights, and that's what sealed the Stars' fate. So you know that this team has a heavy chip on their shoulder to move past that. They're very dominant in the first period. They're consistent with getting a lot of shots on goal, as well as getting a goal in that first period and setting the tone. So as long as they lock down in the third period versus the Avalanche tonight, I think they can move on.
All right, very good. And then what about this Oilers-Canucks series, Casey? Like, you watch the games, and the Oilers are the better team. Vancouver's without Demko, but somehow, some way, the Canucks just find ways to keep winning games in this series. Edmonton was by far the heaviest favorite to get through to the conference final in any of the four series. Well, they're on the brink of elimination heading into Game 6. Do you still think the Oilers can come back to win this series, or do you like the Canucks to win one of the next two?
I like the Canucks here, actually. I think a lot of the conundrum was around the goaltending issue. Obviously, it's very nerve-wracking in the playoffs when you have the third or fourth goaltender coming in to save the day, but Seeloff has been fantastic. He's actually managed high-danger shots and goals a lot better than expected, and the Canucks are finding ways to score. I think something that was kind of doubtful for them, or at least where I stood on the matter, was that they weren't picking up many goals versus the Predators. They were averaging about 2.2, and you can't do that versus an Oilers team that's very destructive offensively. But another thing is the Predators' defense and goaltending almost was as strong as the Oilers. Oilers' goaltending is not that great. Their defense is a bit spotty and inconsistent, and I think that's where the Canucks are really applying the pressure. They minimize their shots on goal when they make adjustments. Yesterday, they took the Oilers from 11 shots on goal in the first period to like 4 in the second. So I think the Canucks are the better team, actually, in this matchup. They're getting some depth scoring in the mix there. Their defensemen are getting involved, but their defense is a lot better than the Oilers' defense, and I think that's going to help pull them through to the next round.
Casey, the only team that knows that they're going to be in the next round, that is the New York Rangers. I believe TNT threw up a great graphic last night that I think they're only the third President's Cup trophy winner to get to this point in like the last decade, and we talk about that all the time, the President's Cup trophy curse, and it's a real thing. But the Rangers, they win last night, a great third period comeback, and now they're waiting for the winner of Florida and Boston. At this point, from what you've seen, do you think the Rangers are the team to beat? Would you put them as your favorites to win the cup?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I don't want to, PJ, I have to. You've heard me on your show before. I thought the President's Trophy curse was going to catch up with them, but their trajectory is aligning perfectly with the Stars of what they did in 1994. I think we've all seen all the comparisons and graphics and memes and stuff. We'd have to see much better play out of a few teams. I mean, the Panthers goaltending, Bobrovsky's kind of fallen off a little bit. Swayman's the better goaltender in that competition. So depends on who moves forward in that category. And that's what the compete's going to come down to. We saw the Canes kind of start to figure out Shesterkin a little bit. So we see he's human and that a team has the ability to do it. But the Bruins would have to be extremely consistent. The Panthers would have to be extremely consistent and disciplined, more importantly so, because we've seen that the Rangers capitalize on special teams, both sides, penalty kills and power play. They're not the best five-on-five team. That's where the Canes really did have their number. But for the most part, they're the strongest team in the East right now.
Panthers are right now the favorites at plus 270 on BetMGM, followed by Dallas at plus 280. The Rangers are plus 300. Boston Bruins, 25-1. I'm just saying. She's Casey Hudson joining me here on Send It In. Casey, great stuff as always. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, PJ. Have a great weekend.
You as well. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, it's time for a little golfing with Glasser. Let's get some more three-ball bets. We were really good with these yesterday, won ourselves some money. Let's do the same. As real quick, Scottie Scheffler still 6-under as he is currently on the second hole, his 11th hole of the day. Bring in Shawnee Sharp, who's our first three-ball of the afternoon.
Yeah, Peach, for people also that are wondering, Scotty right now is plus 350 on the live to win the tournament. On the first hole, but on hole one, he lipped out a birdie putt. So he's there. It's just the putter can work for him. So the first three ball we got here today here for you, Peach, is starting at 238. Xander Schauffele at plus 115. Ludvig Åberg at plus 190. And Justin Thomas at plus 260.
All right, so Xander shot a 9-under yesterday. Probably not going to happen again. Now, he could shoot a 3-under today. He could shoot a 4. He could shoot a 5-under. But this is Xander in a major. He's had a long time to think about his lead overnight. He's seeing guys go out there and make birdies and climb up the leaderboard. I do like Ludvig Åberg. He got off to a tough start yesterday. But, man, now that it's raining at this course, it's playing even longer than it was yesterday. And these guys are just shooting darts at the pin. They're just firing. These greens are very receptive. I'll take Ludvig today at plus 190.
Pretty marquee group here. We got Adam Scott plus 120, Keegan Bradley at plus 160. And I say that because you got Tiger Woods at plus 300. Everyone's going to be wondering if he can make the cut.
Yeah, I'm going to take Keegan today at plus 160. These sloppy tracks, when it's wet outside and it plays tough and you got to grind it out, that's when Keegan's usually at his best. So I like him at plus 160. And I like Tiger to shoot over 71.5 today. That means we like Tiger to shoot a one over or worse. Look, I love Tiger as much as the rest of you do, but let's be honest. We see this all the time in the majors. He has a great round one, but as we go further and further throughout, his body just, he can't hang like he used to. And with the weather outside, it's only going to make it that much tougher on him. So I like Tiger over 71.5 today. I like Keegan in the three ball.
All right, next group here, teeing off at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Rory McIlroy at minus 165, Dustin Johnson at plus 210, and Justin Rose at plus 325.
Yeah, lay the juice with Rory. I mean, I think Rory might have a chance to be the leader after round two today. There's a reason it's minus 165. DJ's just not what he used to be. Justin Rose isn't what he used to be. These guys are major champions. They were number one players in the world at one point. They're not anymore. Rory minus 165.
All right, next group at 3:11 p.m. Eastern time, Victor Hovland at plus 150, Cam Smith at plus 175, or Hideki Matsuyama at plus 210.
This was a tough one, but I'm going to take Victor. Cam's from Australia, Hideki's from Japan, and you got Victor Hovland from Norway. This is like a European weather type day, right? Rainy, ugly, sloppy, got to really manage your ball. Victor's used to this stuff. He grew up in it. He played very well yesterday. I'll take Victor Hovland plus 150.
Next group at 3:22 p.m. Eastern time, Brooks Koepka at plus 135, Max Homa at plus 185, or Jordan Spieth at plus 220.
We're going to run it back with Brooks at plus 135. I like him in his three ball yesterday, and I think the scary thing for the rest of the field is that Brooks virtually did nothing for like 15 holes, and then he went eagle, par, birdie, birdie to finish. He got himself at 4-under par. So if Brooks just kind of gets it going for the whole round today, who knows what he could do. I'll take Brooks plus 135.
Next group at 3:33 p.m. Eastern time, Tyrrell Hatton at plus 175, Tony Finau at plus 175, or Sahith Theegala at also at plus 175.
I'm going to take Finau. So all the guys are at plus 175. Figala and Finau both had really good rounds yesterday. Both shot six under par. But Tony, this course really sets up well for him because you have to be long off the tee. Tony is super long. And also, these kind of days, weather-wise, where it's crappy like this and it's ugly and it's sloppy and it's rainy, that's where Tony tends to play well. I'll take him plus 175.
All right, two more groups here for you, Peej. At 3:44 p.m. Eastern Time, we got Bryson DeChambeau at plus 125, Tommy Fleetwood at plus 160, or Akshay Bhatia at plus 275.
Yeah, I'm going with the long hitter again with DeChambeau. Fleetwood was intriguing because he does play really well in conditions like this, but with the course at 7,600 yards, it's going to be super advantageous to be long off the tee today. I'll take Bryson.
All right, last group here for you at 3:55 p.m. Eastern Time. Sepp Straka at plus 110, Nick Taylor at plus 188, or Takumi Kanya at plus 275.
I bet Sepp yesterday. It worked out for me. He finished even par. Nick Taylor was one over, and Kanaya was four over. Now you have even worse conditions. I think Straka's going to go under par today. I don't think either of the other guys are. I like Sepp at plus 110. All right, let's talk some NFL. Let's get out some win totals real quick here on Send It In, presented by BetMGM. We will start with my favorite win total this year in the NFL is going to be the Ravens, under 11.5 wins at minus 140. The Ravens have one of the toughest schedules in the NFL. They were the number one seed last year, so they get the first place schedule. They play in the toughest division in the NFL, and they're losing a lot on both sides of the ball. They have to replace three offensive linemen, three key pieces on defense, their defensive coordinator in Mike McDonald. And as much as I love Lamar, and even though he's the second best quarterback in the NFL, he's only made it through three full seasons, right? So as much as I want him to play the whole year, I got to be realistic and say there's a chance that that might not happen. I'll go Ravens under 11.5 wins. Up next, give me the Lions over 10.5 wins this year at minus 115. Here's a great scheduling stat for you this season. Jared Goff and the Lions only have to play three games outside this season. They got to play at the Packers in Lambeau November 3rd, at the Bears at Soldier Field December 22nd, and then at Levi Stadium against the Niners on December 30th. That's it. We know the big problem with Jared Goff is when he goes outdoors in cold weather. When he's indoors, with that offense, with that O-line, with Ben Johnson as your OC, Lions are as dangerous as anybody. I'll take over 10.5 wins on the Lions this season. Number three, I'm sticking in that division. Give me the Bears under 8.5 wins or plus 120. Are we really doing this again with Chicago? I know there's a lot of excitement. I know Caleb Williams is probably going to be really good. I know they got Keenan Allen. I know they got DeAndre Swift. We've done this the last 2 years with the Bears where they win the offseason. Everybody's excited. People think they can win the NFC North until they prove to me that they can do that, that they can have a winning record with Matt Eberflus as their head coach. I'm going to continue taking their under. Give me Chicago plus 120 under 8.5 wins. I like the Bengals over 10.5 wins at minus 125. I think there's a great chance the Bengals get the number one seed in the AFC this year. Last year, they finished dead last in the AFC North. So that means this year, they play the last place schedule in the NFL. Their schedule is going to be much easier than Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Baltimore will be. Plus, you're getting Joe Burrow, who should enter this season healthy for the first time in his NFL career, and it's the last year with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. I think they're on a mission. I like Bengals over 10.5 wins. And finally, give me the Atlanta Falcons under 9.5 wins at plus 115. By far, all the metrics currently are telling us that the Falcons have the easiest schedule in the NFL. And I think as a result of that, and the fact that so many people are excited to see this offense finally with a legit quarterback in Kirk Cousins, and with how bad their division is, I think everybody just assumes Atlanta's probably going to win the division and they're going to have double-digit wins. But Kirk Cousins is coming off an ACL tear. He's getting up there in age. Raheem Morris is entering his first year there in Atlanta. You go from an offensive head coach to a defensive head coach. And in that kind of division in the NFC South, unless Tom Brady's your quarterback, do you really want to be the undisputed favorite heading into the season? I don't know if that's such a good thing. I'll take under 9.5 wins on the Falcons. So those are my five favorite win totals. Ravens under 11.5, Lions over 10.5, Bears under 8.5, Bengals over 10.5, and the Falcons under 9.5 wins. All right, let's give out some best bets to wrap up the show. PJ's plays. We are going streaking to kick things off. Give me Rafael Devers today for the Red Sox going up against Kyle Gibson for the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, Rafi has faced Gibson, a good amount of times in his career, 18 plate appearances when he was with the Tigers, when he was with the Orioles, 8-for-18 against Gibson in his career. Rafael Devers is going to be my play today in going streaking. My prop lock is going to be in Sunday's Game 7 between the Nuggets and the Wolves. I'm going Jamal Murray over 19.5 points. It feels like the bigger the game, the more crucial the game, these Siri decider type games, Murray plays his best. He's at home. I'll take him over 19.5 points against the Wolves. Dog of the day. We've been killing it with these. When I tell you guys, I like my certain bets in the NHL and the NBA. They've been doing very well. Really like the Rangers last night, and I really like the Bruins again tonight. I think the Bruins are winning this series, guys. I really do. I take them plus 125 to win tonight, and I take them game 7 in Florida as well. Shawnee Sharp's on the Pacers. Team total over 110.5 tonight. Death, taxes, Pacers team total over at home. And my best bet, I'm sticking in that same game. I don't think we're going back to MSG for game 7. I think the Knicks take care of business tonight. I like them +6.5. I like them on the money line as well. This game is going to be tightly played. Every Knicks game up until like the last three was like super entertaining for the last 5 minutes because all those games would come down to the wire. I think we get back to that tonight. Give me New York plus the points against the Pacers. To recap, my favorite plays for today, Rafi Devers is going to be my pick and going streaking 8-for-18 in his career against Kyle Gibson. Jamal Murray, my prop lock on Sunday night, over 19.5 points in game 7. Bruins plus 125 tonight against the Panthers, and the Knicks +6.5 tonight against the Pacers. Good luck to all you guys. Appreciate you watching the show. Thanks again to Henry Ettinger, Casey Hudson for joining us. Have a great weekend. Let's go Wolves. Let's go Bruins. Let's go Knicks. See y'all Monday.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.